We're going to read this morning again from the book of Psalms. It's good to be back. Last Sunday I was down in Maryland, and down there, if you say Psalm, they have no idea what you're talking about. You have to say Sam or Psalm, but up back here I can say Psalm and you know what we're talking about. Psalm 103, one of the great Psalms of the book, Psalm 103, and we'll commence reading at verse number 1. Psalm 103 and verse number 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And may the Lord bless to our hearts this reading from his own infallible and inspired word. Let's just bow for a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for this glorious psalm that thou hast given to us. And we bless thee, our Father, for the encouragement that has been down through the years. And Lord, what a wealth of information, what a wealth of the blessing of the Lord is found within the verses of this psalm. And today, our God, we pray, as we turn to meditate a little bit about it, that thou would touch every heart. And grant, O God, that thou would draw us near to thee. And take us, Lord, out of this place, rejoicing in the Lord with thankful hearts for all the goodness that the Lord has shown to us. O God, many a thing might have happened to us, but we're here today, the living, to praise thee because of thy grace and thy mercy and thy goodness. O God, we pray that thou would come then and fill every heart with thanksgiving unto God. And Father, should there be any here who know not the Lord, O God, we pray that thou would bring them to realize that it is a real blessing to know the Lord Jesus Christ, not only for eternity, but here on earth itself. And Father, we pray that thou would draw sinners unto thyself and save them by thy grace. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 103 is one of the great hymns of praise and of thanksgiving that God has given in His Word. And even just reading it again, I'm looking at it here, and I'd love to be able to do a series, because every verse in this psalm is a sermon unto itself. But I've only got 7 weeks left, so I'll not be able to do that. As you know, I'm retiring. That's retiring from the ministry in this pulpit, but not retiring from the Lord's work. And maybe someday I'll get the opportunity of doing that, going down Psalm 103 and trying to open up some of the wonderful blessings that are found there. It's a different psalm in the sense that it's all unadulterated thanksgiving and praise. Some of the psalms you'll find start off, perhaps the psalmist down, and then he thinks in the Lord and he finishes in a high note, and he's praying for God's blessing upon him, and so on. But Psalm 103 does not have any prayerful request. It is simply an unadulterated statement of praise and thanksgiving unto God. And I've been thinking over this last few days of just how good it is to be a Christian. We live in a world of diverse cultures and so on, but we ought not to shortchange the faith that we have in God. And how good it is to be a Christian. In Sunday school, you used to learn a little chorus. Isn't it grand to be a Christian? Isn't it grand? And Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and all day Sunday. Isn't it grand? Isn't it grand to be a Christian? Because in Christianity, there are great benefits that come to us from the fact that we know the Lord. The spiritual benefits, but also physical benefits and mental ones as well. Now the problem is that we are so familiar with many of these things that familiarity can breed contempt, and we don't think about these things and praise the Lord enough for the things that He has given to us. We have a tendency in our lives to remember the garbage of life and forget the gems of the blessing of Almighty God that He has given to us. So this morning what I want to do is to focus on the last line of verse 2. Those words, forget not all His benefits. And we want to consider this morning the benefits of being a Christian. I'm going to look first of all at the fountain of the blessing, and that is the spiritual blessings that we have. And then from that, we'll consider the physical blessings that Christianity gives to us, because it does, and then the mental benefits that we have from being a Christian. Now, first of all, the spiritual benefits. It says there in verse number 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Now, we have an enormous problem here, and that problem is sin in the soul. And every one of us, we know from the Bible and from our own experience, are sinners in the eyes of God, and we grieve ourselves at times because we do not live lives that are better. But thank God, there is in the Bible here an immense remedy for that enormous problem of sin. Because there are wonderful verse 12 there, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Now, if you were to go outside, well, this is not a very good place for that, for this particular illustration, but out in the flat ground, and you look away out to the west, you can see the west horizon. Then you turn through 180 degrees and you look towards the eastern horizon, and you find that there's an immeasurable distance between the two. And so if you begin to walk towards the west, the western horizon, it keeps getting away from you, and the other one, it's still back there coming along. So as far as the east is from the west is an immeasurable distance. You can measure from the North Pole to the South Pole. You could do that very simply because there are two points. But you can't measure east to west. And the Lord, we're told here, forgives us our sin, and He takes them away as far as the east is from the west, and an unmeasurable distance. And so thank God today that great problem of sin is gone. Now, you will find that people who have committed horrendous crimes and horrendous sins, and they think nobody has seen them. And yet after a period of time, They become so obsessed with the problem of what they have done that finally they crack and they've got to go and tell somebody and they've got to go and confess to somebody. And that finishes them up in jail, of course, or and put away because of the wickedness of their crime. The lack of forgiveness is a serious problem. But thank God we can look today as believers and we know that every sin had to go, because it says there in verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. How many? Not just some of them, not just many of them, not just the most of them, but forgiveth all thine iniquities. He takes them away and they're gone forever. And when God the Father looks down upon his child here on earth, he sees us as when he sees the blood that Jesus Christ shed. And our sins are gone. We sing in the chorus in the Sunday school, gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone, buried in the deepest sea. I thank God for the forgiveness of sins. And that brings us, through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, into a right relationship with God. That is today, as believers, thank the Lord for the forgiveness he has given for our sins. Then also there's healing, because in verse number 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Now, it's not so much the physical disease he's talking about, because he says, bless the Lord, O my soul. And again, bless the Lord, O my soul. So he's dealing here mostly with the spiritual diseases, and the greatest of those is the leprosy of sin. Leprosy is a loathsome disease, and the leprosy of sin is a loathsome disease for us. But here we have the fact that there is a cure. Now, in our day, we are distressed by the number of cancer diagnoses there are. And it seems that every week you hear of somebody else who's got cancer, who's suffering, has to go for treatment and so on. It is an awful problem. And then, of course, you've got AIDS that's ravaging Africa at this time. And these diseases are there. And if you could just come along and stop them, you'd feel good. But we can't do that. And sometimes I wonder how hard some people are trying to do it, because it is a multi-million or billion-dollar industry, the health industry. So sometimes you wonder just how hard they try betimes. But here is the wonderful blessing that every sin that we have committed that has come out in a wicked, filthy spot upon our testimonies and upon our characters, they are blotted out and we are healed totally from the disease of sin. And when we get to heaven, the sin will be forever gone. We were singing there, did you notice that line? None else could heal all our soul's diseases. No, not one, but the blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Then in verse number 4, another spiritual benefit, and that is redemption. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. And born in sin, and shaped in iniquity, we were heading for destruction, the destruction of the everlasting punishment of death forever in hell. That's what we're heading for. But the Lord tells us here, he redeems your life from destruction. Now the word redeem is buy back. I haven't noticed so much here, but certainly in my native country, when I was growing up, they used to have pawn shops. And you always knew them because they had three brass balls hanging outside. And people who were short of money would take some object that they had, watch or clock or something, that had some value, take it to him, and he would give them some money. And then if they could get money back, they could buy it back again. Of course, they would lose out in the buying back. But that's what the word redeem means, to buy back. And we used to be in the devil's pawn shop, sitting there, our lives wasted and ruined. But when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, he brought us back from the brink of disaster. He saved our souls from hell, and he brought us out of the devil's pawn shop, and he redeemed us with his precious blood. And that's why we can sing, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. So, we are forgiven, we are healed, we are redeemed. And then in verse 4, it says, and this is amazing, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. So not only does the Lord lift us out of the dunghill of our sin, but he sets us on a throne. And as it says there in the book of Revelation, the very first chapter, that we are made kings and priests unto God. So the psalm used to sing, we are members of the royal family, saved by the grace of God, and we have this coronation. And the Lord has given to us a great honor. He crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. And sometimes we grumble like Israel and we complain. But let us ever remember the multitude of the tender mercies and the loving kindnesses of the Lord our God that he gives us every day. New every morning are thy mercies, and great is thy faithfulness. And then in verse 5, another benefit of being a Christian is satisfaction. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. So he gives us here a satisfaction. Now the world is looking for satisfaction. The world is trying to find it and looks everywhere for it and yet can never really find it because they've got to go back again and again and again and again because the soul is not satisfied. But thank God, when you come to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you are completely satisfied with him. He satisfies our mouth with good things. We sang there's opening hymn, that great hymn, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. And then there's that line, ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, who like we, the praise of God should sing. May God help us today to consider what the Lord has done for us and praise him for his great goodness. And again, note there's no petition in this psalm, just unadulterated praise and thanksgiving to God. And that is a good example for us to follow, to praise the Lord and to thank him for his goodness. So we've got these spiritual blessings that come to us through the saving work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, coming from that, you have certain physical benefits of being a Christian. And you say, well, how can that be? Well, it works like this here, that Christians ought to be more healthy than the world at large. You say, why do you say that? Well, because the Christian, if he lives according to dictates and the morality of the Word of God, will have a cleaner lifestyle. There are people out there, and you've seen them, and perhaps have been part of them at one time, where you just have to have the cigarette. You just have to have the alcohol. You just have to have the drugs and so on. And people are addicted to these things, and the problem with them is there is a multitude of sicknesses and illnesses that follow after them. So if you follow the morality of the word of the Lord, you're going to have a much cleaner lifestyle. In fact, if you read some of those medical papers and they tell you for particular things what you should do, one of the first things, stop smoking. When you say, well, I don't smoke, so don't have that problem. Give up the drink, well, don't drink, so don't have that problem. So when you don't have those things, you have a much cleaner lifestyle. Now, here's what I've got to be very careful about, and that is we ought to be more healthy because of diet. Now, this is a bit of a problem for the pulpit as well as the pew in some cases. But the Bible teaches us moderation in all things. And so there should be moderation in our diet. And we have a balanced diet of good things that God has given. And if we follow that, we'll find less chance of things going wrong. Now, of course, at the end of the day, we're all going to die. And I remember one dear brother of ours who was having difficulty with a Pentecostal woman over the business of healing. And he said to her, well, what happens if when people die, they're going to die? And he says, well, they all die healthy. Well, that was the first I ever heard of that one, because nobody ever dies healthy. You either die from some ailment in your body or you die from some accident that's happened to you. I've never heard of anybody yet dying healthy. You don't die with the Lord. He takes the tabernacle down. But your lifestyle generally, if you follow the balanced diet of the good things that God has given, you'll not have too much problem. Then there's another one. And this is exercise. And this is one when you're looking at the things that tells you that we ought to do, that if you watch your diet and watch your exercise, you'll be a much healthier person. But there's a reason for this here, because the Bible teaches us the work ethic. And it's a good thing. We talk about the Protestant work ethic. And again, Paul says, if any would not work, neither should he eat. Because idleness is a sin. And the Bible tells us in the Minor Prophets, woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. So the believer who knows the Lord Jesus and will follow the teaching of the Word of God will have a cleaner lifestyle, will have a proper diet, and will exercise, not so much in the fit-it-on exercise. You go to a spa and you do all your exercise there, but just do the hard work. In our society today, so many people have sedentary jobs where they're sitting and do not get the exercise as a problem. But we ought to be, as a people, more healthy. And something else, believers also should be more prosperous. And you say, well, how does that work out? Well, it works out like this here, because we have a less expensive lifestyle than the world has. Because if you go into a store, sometimes you go in, you see these people buying a box of cigarettes, and you look at the price up there, and they have to spend that for their satisfaction to keep them going. So they've got to pay money for smokes and for beer and for gambling and movie houses and the world's fashions and so on. And we don't have to spend all those things. Thank the Lord, don't have to spend any of those. And we rejoice because the Lord blesses us. Now the children of Israel, when the Lord gave them manna in the wilderness, there's a great verse there that says that they that gathered much had none left over. And they that gathered little had no lack. Now, mathematically, that doesn't work out, but with the Lord, it does work out. And while the believer may be in an ordinary job and not making very much money, still they can stretch further than the world can, because a lot of expenses that the world has, we don't have. He that gathered little has no lack, and so the Lord meets the need. And the Bible tells us, too, that in the book of Psalms, again, that the Lord causes people to be satisfied with what they need, and they don't have to beg from the world at large. Also, there's the problem, too, of greed. The world is full of greed. Paul said to Timothy that the love of money is the root of all evil, and that's true. And that's what the world at large is working at, trying to amass onto themselves more and more and more and more. And never get satisfied, even when they have an immense amount. Like you take the case of Conrad Black, that's been going through the papers in the courts there in Chicago over this past number of months, that the people who have a lot of money, they still want more money. And sometimes it seems that they're alleged to go beyond the bounds of decent practice, an honest practice. And so the believer should be a person who does not have greed in his heart, because the Lord is our need. The Lord is our satisfier. He satisfies our mouth with good things, and so therefore we don't have those problems. And then again, the believer ought to be more healthy, he ought to be more prosperous, and he also ought to be more stable. Because you watch the world, and I look from a perspective of 71 years, and I have noticed the fads and the foibles and the fancies of this world and the fashions of this world. And people, they spend fortunes on them. I mean, you look, for example, I remember the first time I saw a cell phone. And this was a seventh world wonder to see a cell phone. Actually, it was in Dr. Paisley's house that I was with him, and he had the phone, Dr. Brian Green, over in England, and he got him in a car driving down through England somewhere. I thought, this is marvelous, a cell phone. How would we do without cell phones before? Now it seems everybody has to have a cell phone because that's the latest fad. Now if it's used for legitimate purposes, I have no argument. But the characters who come in and disturb you when you're trying to take a meal in a restaurant and somebody's placing an order with somebody at the top of their voice over here, that's a problem. You wonder, how did they ever conduct business before they got cell phones? So that's just an example of the sort of fads that come in. And it's easy. You can persuade yourself, I can't live without this. But how to do before you ever got it? How to work to before on computers? That's the normal. I use a computer. I have a cell phone, but don't use it very much. But I use the computer quite a bit. How do we do without those things before? You see, when you're following the fads and the fashions and the foibles of this world, it costs a fortune. And the believer who's got his perspective right is thinking more from self, and he's not going to be stampeded into some decision to follow the leader, to keep up with the Joneses. Because they've got it, I've got to have it. And so therefore, the believer ought to be more stable, a person who thinks for themselves and makes the decision based on how the Lord would lead them. Now we go on to the next part, which is the mental benefits of being a Christian. And thinking again of that word there, who healeth all thy diseases. And again, we're talking here not so much about physical diseases, but that which is within the soul and within the mind. One of the greatest blessings of being a Christian, one of the greatest benefits, is that we are, as a people, ought to be as a people, more peaceful. One word, peace. Because the believer, we're told in Philippians, has the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And not just the peace of God, but it says in the same chapter 4 of Philippians, the God of peace shall be with you. And so it's a wonderful blessing, a wonderful benefit to have that peace. It says in Philippians 4, be careful or be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What a tremendous blessing. That is the best psychology you'll read anywhere. In today's society, they try to mingle Freudian psychology with biblical truth. Just take the biblical truth itself. I have to laugh at Dr. Mike Barrett, who is the head of our ministerial school down there. Dr. Saunders was at their graduation last weekend. And Mike, when he was speaking at the Congress in Belfast last June, he said, but these people who come, they're always wanting counseling. And he says, I say to them, just read your Bible and you'll get over it. And he said it in quite a humorous way, but it is true. Read your Bible and you'll find that you'll get the peace of God that passeth all understanding. I was over for my 6 monthly checkup in the Sunnybrook Hospital there a few weeks ago. And while I was waiting, as you normally have to do, I was waiting there and this nice man came up to me. And he said, would you be a sufferer from prostate cancer? I said, yes, I did have that, and I had the surgery. And he says, well, you know, we have a good support group for people like that. And I said to him, well, you know, I appreciate the work that you're doing, and I appreciate you speaking to people who have concerns, but, you know, I don't really feel the need for that because I have a good support group. I have a family that is very supportive. I have a church family that has been very supportive. And I told him, he says, you know, I'm a Christian, and the Lord supports me, and I'm going to die eventually. We're all going to die eventually. But I'm not one bit concerned about it because I've got the ticket for the journey. And so why should we lose peace? Because the Lord gives to His people the peace of God. And you get the example of the Lord Jesus Christ that Peter tells about in 1 Peter 2:23. Jesus, who when He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously. So Jesus was not upset, even though He went through tremendous suffering for the cause of His people. Again, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Now you listen to the news out there, and the news out there is usually bad news. Sometimes I say, well, is there no good news today that we can hear? And then you begin to think, well, we have the original good news here in this. So the world's problems causes great concern. But what a blessing it is to be able to see things from the eternal perspective and to rest in the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And when you get to that stage, you realize that life is not a rat race. Now, for many people, it is a rat race. But for the believer, it's not a rat race because you understand that God is in control of all things. He's in control of your life. And while the ship may rock a little bit in the waves, the Lord is the one who's able to say, peace be still. And so we enjoy that peace. So that's a tremendous mental benefit to have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Another mental benefit is that the believer ought to be more contented. Because it says there in 1 Timothy 6:6, godliness with contentment is great gain. If you ever watch the stock market, and the people that up and down and checking all the time, and if it goes down, they're ready to jump off the top floor of one of the skyscrapers because they have this problem. They're trying to make great gain. When they don't make it, they get troubled. But for the believer, we're told that the great gain that we get is contentment when we have godliness. Because godliness with contentment is great gain. Jesus said to the soldiers, He said to them, be content with your wages. And the Lord knows exactly what we need. He has us on this earth for a certain period of time as a day to be born, a time to die. And in between, the Lord knows exactly what we need, and we should content ourselves with that. I learned that lesson in the workforce years ago when people are concerned about getting raises and so on. Forget it. The Lord knows what you need. And if the Lord's going to get you a raise, He'll get you a raise. And no amount of fighting on your part is going to help. All you do is disturb yourself and lose your patience and your contentment. Godliness with contentment is a great gain. Now, Paul said in Philippians 4, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And he told Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:8, having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. So the believer should be most contented because it says also in Hebrews 13, be content with such things as you have, because just a few verses later, Jesus says, or God says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Then there's another mental benefit. We're more peaceful, more contented, and more trusting. Because you realize that the Lord is in control of your life. And you see, when we try to wrestle a steering wheel of our life away from God, then you get problems. But when you allow the Lord to lead you and to direct you and to guide you, then you can trust Him because you know that He will provide and that He'll work out He'll work out His purposes. And also, not only in the world at large, but in the family. When the Lord is in the family, That is a tremendous blessing when you trust Him, because the marriage bond is far closer when the Lord is in there. You see, when you have two ungodly people married together, two of them make a commitment one to the other. It may last, it may not last. But when two believers come together in matrimony, there's a third person there, and that person is the Lord Jesus. And when He is there, well, it says in Ecclesiastes, a threefold cord is not easily broken. And so when the Lord's in it, you'll have the blessing of the Lord, and you'll know that He is there to help you, and you trust Him. Because in every family, there are problems and difficulties and anxieties that you face, but the Lord is there, and you trust Him, and you forget not the benefits that He has given to you. And then also, the believer should be more peaceful, more contented, more trusting of the Lord, and also more confident. Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. I know. Now, confidence for us in the world, they tell you that you have to be self-confident, that you have to be in the situation where you are proud of your abilities and so on. And that is a recipe for disaster. But when you can say that your knowledge is not of yourself, your knowledge is in the Lord Jesus, I know whom I have believed, then what happens is, there's another verse in the Bible that says, a man's knowledge makes his face to shine. And so your face shines because of the knowledge of Christ in the heart. And again, to go back to that thought, we are children in the royal family of God. And that's why when you walk down the street, you're going to hold your head high, not because of your talents or abilities, but because of the fact that the Lord has brought you into His family and adopted you in by the power of the Holy Spirit. So, what mental benefits there are for the child of God as we face this difficult world. Now, this is a call to the soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not. That's the problem. We have a dangerous tendency to forget. Forget not all His benefits. Over in the book of Deuteronomy, it says in verse 12 of chapter 6, beware, beware lest thou forget the Lord. And that's why so many Christians find themselves losing their peace and losing their contentment and losing their faith, is because they have forgotten the Lord. That's why it is good to take time just to count the blessings and to be thankful. Because one of the most awful words in our language is the word ingrate, where you take, but you give nothing. But God has given us so much. Let us give to Him of our bounty and of our blessing. And so we come to the end of the day and we say, isn't it grand to be a Christian? Because we have the spiritual blessings that are not just for time, but for eternity. Isn't it grand that even while we are in time, the Lord has given us certain physical benefits? Isn't it grand because in time here, we also have certain mental benefits? And so we can rejoice greatly in the Lord. May God help us today to count our blessings. And the way you do that is just take time. And this is the big problem in our society. We don't have time, but you need to take time and sit down and deliberately think, Lord, I remember that day when You saved me by Thy grace. That was a good day. And then, Lord, I remember the day when You brought a certain person into my life, a husband or wife. We get married in the Lord. That was a great day. Lord, remember how You brought to us children. That was a great day. And Lord, remember the day when maybe You called me into some form of Christian service. That was a great day. And so it's good just to sit down and to deliberately count your blessings, not just to sing it quickly as we'll be doing in a minute, to sing it and then forget it, but to sit down and thank the Lord individually and collectively for the great blessings that the Lord has given to us all. Forget not all His benefits. I love this psalm, bless the Lord. In fact, when I go to bed at night, very, very often, I put my head in my pillow and I say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. The psalm starts with the blessing of the Lord, and the last three verses, bless the Lord, ye His angels that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye His hosts, ye ministers of His, that do His pleasure. And then, bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. What a blessing it is. Now, I just stood at the back there of our house in the morning, sun shining. We have a big fir tree there that almost got blown down on Friday, but it's still there. And there's a robin goes up and sits in that tree. And every morning he serenades me. I now know the syllables of his song. A robin, he will do one line and then he repeats the line a second time. A thrush will do one line and change the next time. But the robin repeats his line just to make sure you got it. And he's up there and he sings away. And all those people who have studied birds that try to work out what's he doing, is he defending his territory and so on, I rather think he's just praising God. He's just sitting up there in the tree, singing away, singing as happy. You won't say as happy as Larry. I'm not sure how happy Larry is today. But he's singing up there. What a wonderful world God has given to us. Let us not forget His benefits, but thank Him for the wonder of His grace and of His goodness. And friend, if you don't know the Lord, you are in a sad state. You need to come to Christ and trust Him. You'll find that He will bless your soul with blessings beyond compare and beyond calculations. How great and how good is the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Let's bow in prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee this morning for the wonder of Thy goodness and Thy grace, Thy tender mercies, and Thy loving kindness toward us. O God, who like we Thy praise should sing. We pray, our Father, that Thou will bless every individual believer this morning. Give them grace to magnify Thy name. And Lord, fill them with that peace and contentment and that joy and satisfaction that comes from knowing the Lord Jesus as Savior. O God, we know the devil would love to steal the song away. But our Father, we pray that Thou would defeat him. We thank Thee, the Lord defeated him at the cross. And we thank Thee, O God, that His day is coming. Our Father, we pray that Thou would help us to walk in the victory of Calvary in the steps of our blessed Lord and our Savior. And Lord, should there be someone here today, not a Christian, without Christ and without God and without hope, O God, we pray today that Thou would bring them to realize how good and how great Thou art. And may they call upon Thy name, because Thou hast told us that such as do shall be saved. Hear this our prayer, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 478, when upon life's billows your tempest tossed,